Camelot. Camelot. Camelot.
It's only a model.
Shh. Knights, I bid you welcome to your new home. Let us ride to Camelot.
We're knights of the round table. We dance where we're able. We do routines to call the scenes to put work in bed cable. We dine well here in Camelot. We eat ham and jam and spam a lot. We're knights of the round table. Our shows are more mid-table. So many times we give and rhymes that are quite unsingable. We're off so mad in Camelot. We sing from the dire Camelot.
I have to push the pram a lot.
Well, on second thought, let's not go to Camelot.
Ma'am, sorry.
It is a silly place.
What knight lives in that castle over there?
I'm 37.
What?
I'm 37. I'm not old.
Well, I can't just call you man.
You could say Dennis.
I didn't know you were called Dennis.
Well, you didn't bother to find out, did you?
I did say sorry about the old woman, but from behind you looked...
What I object to is you automatically treat me like an inferior.
Well, I am king.
Oh, king, eh? Very nice. And how'd you get that, eh? By exploiting the workers. By hanging on to outdated imperialist dogma, which perpetuates the economic and social differences in our society. If there's ever going to be any progress...
Dennis, there's some lovely filth down here. Oh! How'd you do?
How'd you do, good lady? I'm Arthur, King of the Britons. Whose castle is that?
King of the who?
The Britons.
Who are the Britons?
Well, we all are. We are all Britons. And I am your king.
I didn't know we had a king. I thought we were an autonomous collective.
You're fooling yourself. We're living in a dictatorship. A self-perpetuating autocracy in which the working classes...
Oh, there you go, bringing class into it again.
That's what it's all about. If only people would...
Please, please, good people. I am in haste. Who lives in that castle?
No one lives there.
Then who is your lord?
We don't have a lord.
What?
I told you, we're an anarcho-syndicalist commune. We take it in turns to act as a sort of executive officer for the week.
Yes.
But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
Yes, I see.
By a simple majority in the case of purely internal affairs.
Be quiet.
But by a two-thirds majority in the case of more...
Be quiet. I order you to be quiet.
Order? Who does he think he is?
I'm your king.
Well, I didn't vote for you.
You don't vote for kings?
Well, how'd you become king, then?
The Lady of the Lake, her arm clad in the purest shimmering samite, held aloft Excalibur from the bosom of the water, signifying by divine providence that I, Arthur, was to carry Excalibur. That is why I'm your king.
Listen, strange women lying in ponds, distributing swords is no basis for a system of government. Supreme executive power derives from a mandate from the masses, not from some farcical aquatic ceremony.
Be quiet!
But you can't expect to wield supreme executive power just because some watery tart threw a sword at you.
Shut up!
I mean, if I went round saying I was an emperor, just because some moistened bint had lobbed a scimitar at me, they put me away.
Shut up! Will you shut up?
Ah, now we see the violence inherent in the system.
Shut up!
Oh, come and see the violence inherent in the system! Help! Help! I'm being repressed!
Bloody peasant!
Oh, what a giveaway. Did you hear that? Did you hear that, eh? That's what I'm on about. Do you see him repressing me? You saw it, didn't you?
Future. I wanna fly.
with no shoes on their feet. How's the people living in the street? Oh, there's a solution. I want to fly like an eagle to the sea. Fly like an eagle, let my spirit carry me. I want to fly like an eagle till I'm free.
Let it be. I never meant to call you in your sorrow. I never meant to call you in your pain.
To the Knights of the Round Table at www.shazizradio.com. If you want to join in on the chat, jump over there to the superchat.html, where you have access to not one but three separate chat rooms. I think there's even an emergency backup chat room and a little JavaScript chat down there at the bottom. Anyway, so many things going on out there in the world, it's just like hard to get a grip on what's what anymore. So, you know, the it's just hard to try to make sense of it all. I was watching a video early this morning, John B. Wells and Carl Gallup's God, UFOs, and Current Events. I didn't really listened to the whole entire thing, but it kind of got me thinking about life in general and UFOs and governments and all the different stories you're going to hear on the alternative web, so to speak, the alternative news, mainstream media, even the mainstream science shows and all that kind of jazz. Ain't no wonder the majority of the people out here in this world's minds are all messed up. It's all the different versions of life and history. It's, I don't know, man. It's strange, to say the least. Some folks say we evolved from monkeys, and some folks say that we were created, and some folks say the aliens flew down and did it all. That's hard enough to keep up with, let alone all the other political craziness of the world. Wars, rumors of wars, plagues, famine, pestilence. So we put a group together called the Knights of the Round Table. Try to bring a bunch of brilliant minds and some conversation to the table and try to sort through all the mess. Of course, in the middle of the night, I woke up and I was listening to a YouTube video. Somehow or another, must have been put on autoplay. But then I'm hearing something on there, some preacher's on there, and he's talking to how about the old Knights of the Round Table were some demonic, satanic thing back in the old days. Put together by some corrupt church or something. It's amazing what you'll hear out there if you listen to people on the internet. It's between all the conspiracy theorists and government propagandists, and all the madness that you'll stumble into when you crawl down that rabbit hole that they call the Matrix, which is the World Wide Web. You never know what you're going to run into or who you're going to run into. What kind of stories or adventures you're going to take.
So are you saying we're changing the name from Knights of the Round Table to Knights of the Dodecahedron Table?
It's a possibility, man. Because if you listen to the whole concept of the Mandela Effect, it's all changing anyway. You know, have you ever heard of the Mandela Effect?
Mm-hmm.
Well, a lot of things, some people remember things one way, and other people remember things another way, and then they come in the middle and they say, yeah, no, I remember it was this way back whenever I was a kid, and
Bernstein versus Bernstein Bears.
Yeah. I just wonder sometimes if there ain't some higher entity, government-wise or secret society-wise, that ain't just trying to mess with everybody's mind. And it'll give you a really headache. It'll give you a headache after a while thinking about it. You know, the preacher that was I was listening to on that word God, UFOs, and current events, he was also talking about how humans give off light. And I'm thinking about this, and I'm thinking, like, there's a lot of New Age religions out there that have to do with that. There's a lot of New Age beliefs and a lot of talk about light, you know. The secret society called the Illuminati. They're illuminated, man. I don't know what whether or not they're secret societies at the top or the bottom of the pyramid or in the underground or anything like that. I do know that from my experience of visiting with just the average Joe and the kids and such, people got some really strange views on life anymore.
What are you talking about anymore, man? I'd say they were in a butt. Just ask Eddie Murphy.
Yeah?
If you don't believe me, look up the song Boogie in Your Butt by Eddie Murphy. That came out, you know, years ago, and it was pretty strange, too.
You think that there's a possibility that the only reason why we even notice this now I mean, it's not like it wasn't going on forever. There's a lot of been crazy people all through history. But the only reason why we notice it so much anymore is because we have access to so much information and it's more readily available, so to speak. Well,
bingo.
If that be the case, then I'm saying humanity's been jacked up for a while. You know? And here I am. I'm trying to make sense of it all. And I'm trying to get a grip on where we're going as humanity, and trying to think that got to be some way we can resolve these doggone problems that people say that we got going on in the world, you know? Obviously, nobody wants starving children in the world. I mean, who do you know that could sit idly by and eat a sandwich while some little baby was starving, you know? If you're sitting right there in front of that kid, they tell me you wouldn't hand that kid that food. I would. So, it's trying to figure out what's real and what ain't real in this world. These stories about pirates and running around stealing from everybody. And all I know is the information that's been presented out here. I have no idea what's what, whether it's real or whether it ain't real, or whether we're being played like a banjo, whether there is any wars or there ain't any wars, or whether the... I don't know, man. Just sometimes you just get tired.
I'm tired.
Yeah? Sometimes... Go ahead.
Somebody once said, two wrongs don't make a right. The problem is, a lot of people don't understand that two rights don't make a wrong.
Well, I don't even understand that one.
Are you absolutely sure that you don't understand? Because that's what you've been talking about for the past 4 or 5 years. Two wrongs don't make a right, and two rights don't make a wrong.
Well, yeah.
Think about it. That's what you've been talking about for the past 4 or 5 years. Think about it.
So, how does that help to make sense of everything?
It's simple. Don't kill people.
Well, I agree with that wholeheartedly.
You okay, know? So, if somebody is wrong, and you're going to punish them by killing them, that's a wrong. You don't punish somebody by killing them. But, at the exact same time, if somebody cannot live in society without hurting other people, then that's the time for a right to face a wrong. The only way evil can survive is if good men stand by and do nothing.
Well, speaking of evil, there are some pretty evil people in this world. Watched a video just yesterday. Millie Weaver from InfoWars. Whatever you think about InfoWars, sometimes they put information out there. I can't tell half the time whether it's propaganda or whether it's for real. But they put a video out about the dark web. There's a lot of crazy stuff going on the dark web. A lot of things sold, including people. And they say even children being sold on the dark web. If that's true, that's something that humanity really has to stop. There has to be a way to shut it down. There has to be a way to put these folks involved in this stuff into prison or wherever, you know. Anybody who would even contemplate on hurting a child, you know, that's a bad thing. And I guess I don't understand what would drive somebody to even think something like that would even be right. You understand what I'm saying?
Really, because I don't understand the difference between a child and an adult. If you're going to abuse someone, does it make a difference whether they're 1 year old, 2 days old, or 50 years old? If you are going to abuse someone, what is the difference?
Well, it makes a difference.
Wait. You're going to take somebody and sell them into slavery for what purpose? For personal profit, personal gain. No. Anybody that uses another person for themselves without helping that other person, that's evil. And I don't like evil.
Well, I agree, but in society, it's like the younger generation, as far as I'm concerned, are like the protected class, you know. You get to a certain age and things aren't, you know, you pretty much can fend for yourself, but the young people of the world, the children of the world, they can't necessarily fend for themselves. They're looking at us to guide the path and keep them safe and that kind of stuff, you know. And so people who would violate that sacred trust with the kids and harm them in any form or fashion, it's bad enough if it's a kid. Of course, it's obviously just as bad if it's anybody, for that matter. I don't feel like anybody has the right to hurt anybody. But as people, we have a little bit more protective over our kids. Is that, at least that's the way I was raised. You know? It's like the old deal where, like on the Titanic, when the ship was going down, it was women and children first. Except for the one coward, I guess, in the movie that jumped on the boat and took somebody else's spot. But nonetheless, that's the way they used to look at it back in the day. Women and children first, that kind of thing. And I think that was a good respectful kind of thing. You take care of your women and your children. Not that women aren't tough these days, because there's some pretty tough women. But I don't know, the morals of society have changed, the rules have changed, a lot of things have changed. I guess we're these changing times. Yeah, that's a good name for that radio station. Things have changed, at least in the 51 or 2 years of my life, however old I am now. I can't even remember anymore. Doesn't even matter. It's just that things ain't like they used to be when I was younger. Steven says in the chat room, we hurt, abuse children every day by supporting the current system. Shall we all go in jail? And when everyone is in jail, will the system carry on there because it's all we know? Well, he's got a point there. Because if you go look at the average school these days, and there was actually a documentary at one point where somebody had took pictures of the inside of a prison, and then they took a picture of the inside of the school, and they asked a bunch of people, well, which one do you think is the prison? And a lot of people chose the schools, thinking that the you know, the schools, because of the way they're set up. If you look at it nowadays, there's there's cameras in the schools, there's metal detectors at the doors, there's a security system in place because, you know, supposed incidents that occurred throughout the countries in the world. But imagine yourself being a kid, you know, you got your little backpack and you're going to school, and it's almost like going to jail. That's sad. And you got two people in a family, the mother and the father, for the best part, if everything works out well, you got a mom and a dad, but both of them have to go out there to work just to survive in this system that we find ourselves in. Because financially wise, everything costs. Schooling costs, food, and medical, and all that kind of stuff. And one parent, unless they got a really good job, just can't do it by themselves anymore. You know, there was a time in history, I'm sure you remember, Raymond, when you were younger, that the dad would go out to go to work and the mom would stay home and take care of the kids. Ship them off to school and feed them and take care of them and all that. It ain't like that anymore.
I remember those days.
Seemed like them days were a bit different, where the man would open the door for the lady, you know, and the lady wasn't getting upset because the man was opening the door. You know, things have changed. I don't know. I know that we got to do something. And when I say we, I mean we as the world got to do something.
I remember the time, the very first time I ever opened the door for a woman, and she got upset. Really, really upset. Because, I mean, this woman called me everything you could possibly think of except you and me. Because I infringed on her right to do for herself. I mean, she was crossing over into the modern world. I am woman. I can survive. I don't need your help. And all of a sudden it dawned on me. I was demeaning her. So that day to this, I have never, ever opened the door for another woman. Any woman. I don't care. You can survive on your own, or you can join me and let me help you and you help me. Now, if you're not willing to help me, then why should I help you?
Well, I don't know, man. Teach his own, but I'll still open the door for the ladies because that's the way I was raised.
No, that's the way I was raised, but I got my color up, okay?
Yeah. I just, no matter if I had a bad incident where some woman thought I was like trying to degrade her or whatever by opening the door, I just do that for out of respect. Heck, I even open the door for the dudes, man. I don't care. Just another human being trying to help them out, you know? A little courtesy.
Exactly. And at my age, every time a man opened the door for me, I felt thank you for the help. Old man needs all the help he can get. Can I do something for you?
I'm just trying to get a grip on things, because some folks, they think there ain't no such thing as demons. They think there ain't no such thing as evil. But if anybody's out there hurting children, and there's really this existence of the dark web that people are selling people on, it's something that humanity's got to stop. I mean, we got to come together, and we got to battle against such an evil. I mean, there's got to be a point when you got to take sides somewhere. I mean, the whole out of sight, out of mind concept, it doesn't fly with me, you know? Because in the back of my mind, once I've been told that there's a problem in the world and if it's not resolved, it needs to be resolved. You understand what I'm trying to say here?
Yes, I do. That's why I said, two wrongs don't make a right, and two rights don't make a wrong. The only way evil can survive is if good men stand back and do nothing.
Yeah, and the more I look at all these doggone things that's going on out there, like the thing with Syria, and I think about past and conspiracies and stuff that we've heard about, I'm really starting to seriously question. Well, gosh, I've been seriously questioning everything. I just don't know. If we were being played, humanity's being played by the wealthy elite of the world, the military-industrial complex. It's got to stop, man. Somehow or another, it's got to stop. There's a lot of innocent people in this world that are being kicked out of their homes, and children that they can't even go to sleep at night with safety, you know. If the world is as bad outside of these doors that I've seen in all these different videos, there's a lot of, I know on the internet you're going to find a heck of a lot of fear mongering. You're going to find stories like you wouldn't believe. And I've actually went through and started unsubscribing to a lot of channels because I noticed there was a connection between a lot of these channels out here on YouTube. They were all, everything is breaking, and everything is, you know, breaking news and really dramatic and clickbait kind of deal where, you know, they're all in cahoots, got the same advertisers and stuff like that trying to sell you stuff. I could see the lady named Millie, the one that did the deal about the dark web and about kids being sold on the dark web. I could really see how disturbed she was while the guy was telling her about what he knew about it. And I don't know how you could not be disturbed by hearing something like that. You know, even if it wasn't a true story, just a mere thought. I don't know how anybody could not be disturbed. And during the course of the conversation, they did say that there were FBI stings that basically went in and, you know, kept the site running for like 3 months so that they could catch a bunch of creeps and throw them in jail. But if once they stop, you know, doing their investigation and things just go back to business as usual, you know, they said you can buy anything on the dark web. And when I say anything, I mean anything, or anyone for that matter. They even got hitmen that you can hire on this dark web. Is that crazy or what? Are you guys still there?
I'm here.
Where'd Thomas disappear to? Alright, well, going to be another one of those, I guess.
No, actually, I've said it before. Evidently, I need to say it again. I don't believe in capital punishment. You cannot punish somebody by killing them. However, I do believe in destroying, we call it infestation, blight. You've got a peach orchard, the greatest and best in the entire world. Your best tree in that entire orchard is a blight. You punish it, you cut it down, beat it with whips and chains, deny it food, or do you haul it off and put it in a cage in a bubble so that the blight cannot spread and then spend thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars every year keeping it alive so the blight could possibly get out of that balloon? Or do you destroy it? You shed a tear, cut it down, and burn it. Destroy it. I mean, it's the best peach tree in your entire orchard, and you have the best orchard in the entire world. And your best tree is blighted. It's sick. You punish it because it got sick, or you just plain destroy it, but it will not destroy the rest of your orchard. I don't believe in capital punishment. I do believe in culling your orchard. When you have sick people, you get rid of it. You don't say, oh, well, it's me, I can't kill it. Oh, I'm sorry, it's a human being. But it's sick. It's sick.
Well, I understand where you're coming
from. Out of the population.
I understand where you're coming from, but like I said, you know, even it, this world's messed up.
Oh, you don't want to kill people. My problem is, I don't want to kill them either. But if they need to be killed, then kill them. 3 times. snipers had Hitler in their sights. Three times they were given a red light.
All right, well, somebody typed some stuff in the chat room, but Mind Dust in the chat room says, I've read about that subject, that people in our own government are involved in this. See, that's the thing, man. If the people in the higher power or higher positions are involved in this kind of stuff, and there's been a lot of controversy on there about people getting caught doing certain things, whatever happened to old Trump doing the draining the swamp thing? Is it really going to drain the swamp? Is it really going to fight the corruption? Or is it just business as usual?
You're talking about one man with a shovel. He needs a lot of people that believe in him, with shovels. The swamp can be drained, but one man with one shovel cannot do it by himself. And I said that before he was elected. If he gets elected, the people that stand behind him need to stand up and stand behind him. You got your shovel.
Well, I guess it's all up to the average Joe, man.
Exactly. Exactly.
Hey, you want to solve the problem before it becomes a problem when it comes to those who get the blight that you were talking about that need to be culled from the orchards? Almost 100% of all those who are infected by that blight that we're talking about when it comes to harming children and harming other people and not really caring about other people, instigated by fear, mind-numbing fear of the winter. Like I said before, the squirrels gathering nuts, preparing for the winter, hoping they have enough. We know the winter's coming. We can think in four dimensions now, so we can actually be petrified of that winter. And when you're a child and you're being tortured with that, you tend to grow up stunted somehow. I can't believe this, but it just kind of dawned on me that's what I don't know if you guys have seen Game of Thrones or not, but anybody who's listening that has, that's what this is all about. They're talking about the winter, the White Walkers that come in the winter and basically aren't affected by it. They're undead creatures that basically feed on the living, consuming all heat that they come into contact with. That's your government-backed central banks that feed off of the dead. And your governments themselves that, when they get corrupt, that feed off of the dead. You want to find out whether a government's corrupt or not? Look and see what they do with the dead. Look and see what they do to destroy people in order to consume what they have. If you threaten to throw somebody in jail for not paying for, a tax on some cigarettes or something like that, any threat of violence is ultimately a death threat, because they will keep escalating if you keep fighting back until they kill you and take what they want from you. They feed on your death. They feed on your fear. And these people that are hurt like that, to the point where they're willing to hurt other people, that's where it's all starting from. That's where it all comes from. You want to drain the swamp, you need to go to where the very lowest portion of it is and just dig a hole in that and let everything dump out of it. You want to destroy something that's destroying your garden, pull it out by the roots. You got to get to the root and rip the roots out. If you don't remove the roots, it'll just keep growing back.
Well, I'd like
Abraham Lincoln, Abraham Lincoln was trying to rip out this problem with the banks out by the roots, and look what it got him. So you're going to have to be smart about it, though.
One man by himself with one shovel, he got it. He wanted to do the good thing, the right thing. One man, one shovel. Didn't work.
Well, I'd like to be the world's hero, man. But I ain't Superman. You know, heck, I'm not any superhero by any means. I just got a lot of ideas and a lot of visions of what I think the world should be like. And the only tool that I got is basically getting on here and talking to others and trying to sort through how do we fix a problem that's so evil, first off, and I don't know, hidden. How many people in the world even know that there's a dark web out there, you know? And if you know it's out there, then the government has to know it's out there. And if the government knows it's out there, then and they're not shutting it down, you know, from what I understand, the history of the internet was that it used to be for military purposes, and colleges could send information back and forth to each other. It wasn't like open to the average Joe, so to speak. And so at that point in the game, then they have the infrastructure that initially, you know, was in control of the government or by the government. Surely by now they would know how to literally shut these types of sites down. You know? You can't sell stuff if you ain't got no place to go sell it, no customer base, if you understand what I'm trying to point out here. And then whenever you do find things like this, why can't, with modern technology, why can't they literally track this stuff down? I'm positive it's probably not just in one country, it's probably all over the globe, but if it's so widespread and these things are really happening, you know, every time I go to Walmart, I see these pictures on the wall. And it's always talking about kids missing, people missing. Usually from the age of maybe 4 or 5 all the way up to maybe 16 or 17. And I'm asking myself, where are all these people going? You know, is this like some sort of weird Twilight Zone where people are being shipped off to some alien planet or some kind of craziness? Or is there really this massive human trafficking all over that people are being kidnapped left and right, you know? I said this many times on this show, I've seen some things that no man or woman should ever have to see in their lifetime. I've seen some terrible things, some god-awful things, and my imagination could really run amok just trying to figure out where these people went. And I've been on lots of trips where I've actually had to go out there and do search parties where we're actually looking for somebody missing. And it's not a pleasant thing to actually have to go out there and walk through the woods never knowing what you might come upon, what kind of circumstances you might find an individual in. You know, there's a sickness in this world that's so out of control. You talk about culling the orchard, I'm thinking, might end up having to take down a large amount of that forest before you finally get everything to where it should be. But I don't know, where's that fine line between making yourself as bad as the enemy that you profess to want to fight? Does that make any sense to you?
More sense than you can possibly imagine. The only way to fight any war is to be cooler, more vicious, and more vicious than your enemy. The only way to win any war is to kill more of your enemy than they can kill of you, but do it more inhumanely than they are. Wait a minute. You're not a vicious person. You don't want to be a vicious person, but you're being attacked by a vicious person. The only way you could possibly win that war is to be more vicious than they are, because they are trying very hard to scare you. What you want to do is scare them back harder than they scare you. That's war. I'm sorry.
Thomas said something, and there's an actual chat room, or chat going on in the chat room. Thomas mentioned about how the governments pretty much use fear and threats of death to actually maneuver people into doing things. And Stephen Gibbons in the chat room says, your mind is similar to a computer, but it can make connections a computer cannot, and can create and thought without any supporting information, although the new quantum D-wave processors are displaying similar capabilities. And mind us said something about what makes you think that your thoughts are not implanted by the programming. And he also said, just saying, even our thoughts can be manipulated. I don't know whether they're literally talking about...
That wave media. Media is basically a programming tool. That's all it is now.
Yeah, that's where I was trying to go, because
it's not there just to give you input to make decisions on. Now it's designed to basically give you input that will control your decisions.
You know, I always talk about these mind-controlled zombies, I guess, that will go around and they do all these false flag deals of shooting up people or whatever. And, even if none of that was real, just the mere fact that the media is telling everybody that all these things are going on, it's a form of mind control, man. It's a form of fear-based craziness.
Hey, let me go back to the swamp thing for just a second.
Yeah.
And the one man with the shovel. I think the problem here isn't that we need somebody or a group of somebodies or whatever to get together with the shovels to dig this swamp out. I think the problem is we need to realize that the swamp exists because our bodies, our minds, our souls, our value have been used to dam up all the good and the value so that it created this nasty swamp, and we just need to start extracting ourselves from that oak, that entrance, that dam that's been created, and it'll drain itself.
Well, I know how a lot of people that listen to this show and other shows like this feel about God and religion, whatever the words you want to call it, but it seems to me that when you talk about like the Ten Commandments, the golden rules that, thou shalt not kill and all that, sometimes I think it's a lot better that people believe in a higher power than not. If you believe that there's going to be some sort of repercussions in the life after this one right here for your actions in this world, it seems to me it's you got to think a little harder before you go to try to do something bad. There were stories about soldiers that went over to war because of their upbringing. Because they were God-fearing people, they knew the difference between right and wrong, or a combination of both, that they never fired their rifles. And the soldiers out there, they came back with just as many bullets as they left with. And the governments and the militaries had to figure out a way to get these people to shoot the guns. And so they actually physically changed the training style of where, as opposed to they used to shoot at a bullseye, now they shoot at a silhouette. And there's a big difference in when you shoot at a bullseye as opposed to a silhouette. A bullseye, you can't really get no attachment to it. It's just a circle, a dot, you got to hit the center of. But when you're shooting at a silhouette, you become desensitized to the fact that in the distance out there, a real person would look like a silhouette. But in your mind, while you're actually practicing shooting at this silhouette, it's just a piece of paper. It's no big thing. It's a black piece of paper, outline of a person.
Well, and that generic silhouette of a guy wasn't enough. Now they've got silhouettes of women carrying babies and stuff like that, too.
And that's disturbing,
you
too.
To notice what silhouette you're shooting at.
They got this drill in the police academy called Shoot or Don't Shoot. And in the drill, you literally go through basically the equivalents of a shooting range, and then targets will pop up. And you got to make a decision really fast whether or not to shoot or not shoot. Now keep in mind, these are shaped like people. You know, and majority of all the people that go through that training end up not shooting the old lady or the girl. And it turns out that on closer look, the old lady's got a shotgun and the girl's got a gun. But all you saw instantaneously, there was a little girl there, you know, and so you didn't shoot. But if it was a real scenario, you may have got shot. You see where the twist is in there?
It's a real scenario. Kill them all, let God throw them out.
They're like, why didn't you shoot the old lady? I said, it's an old lady. Why would I be shooting the old lady? Did you see what's in her hand? You're dead. But think about this for a second. Really, seriously think about it. If you're training to be a law enforcement or, you know, security services for the president or whatever, and everybody's a target. It doesn't
like
matter.
In Afghanistan, when they bombed that munition plant, and then the Afghanis put on the videos about, oh my God, it's just a baby food factory. Look at all these innocent people died in this bombing of the United States, and all of them were wearing jumpsuits that said baby food factory. But it was in English. Come on now. Afghanistan, people working in a baby food factory wearing jumpsuits that says baby food factory. In English. Come on. It's propaganda. Think about it. Duh. Huh.
Well, I'm just saying there's a lot of propaganda to weed through when it comes to trying to figure out what's right and what's wrong in this world.
Okay, now, we bombed a munitions plant, and all of a sudden they took a lot of dead bodies, put jumpsuits on them, said baby food factory in English in Afghanistan. Duh. I mean, who was right and who was wrong? Did we bomb a munitions plant or did we bomb a baby food factory? Come on, think about
it. Well, I understand your point. I have no idea. I don't have the answer for you because I don't know.
I have the answer. It's right and wrong. Wrong is wrong. Right is right. Two wrongs don't make a right. Two rights don't make a wrong. It was not a baby food factory. Somebody said, oh, they bombed it. Oh, we're going to turn it into something really bad for the Americans. Come on.
Well.
All right, you're going to kill your peach tree. And I'm saying, oh, don't kill that peach tree. Don't do it. But you said it's a bad peach tree. It's a bad peach tree. I'm going to destroy it. And I'm saying, no, let's put it over here in this level. Let's put this light over here. Let's say, bullshit. Excuse my French. Bull crap. Bull dung. Whatever you want to call it. It's still bull feces. Any way you want to look at it, it's sick. It's sick.
All right, well, I got to edit a podcast.
Just a little part about the S-H-I-T word.
Hey, if you don't have to edit it, then it wasn't really very important that you were what you were talking about, because it didn't actually create any emotional responses.
Exactly.
Everybody makes mistakes when they get emotional enough, and if you're talking about something really important, you're going to get emotional.
Yeah, it's understandable.
What my emotions are, I don't believe in capital punishment, but I do believe in culling the orchard. You get rid of the sick before they can bite the others.
Well, apparently we got a lot of sick. Apparently the people out there are always talking about depopulating the planet, man.
We've got a lot of sick. Why do we have a lot of sick? Because we refuse to cull the orchard. Duh. We're not going to kill people. We're just going to get rid of the blight.
Well, it's a disturbing deal. I don't know. It's the more you get to digging into this stuff out here, the less you feel like you can do anything about it. You know, and I'm thinking that's probably what's going on with the youth of today. They feel hopeless. They've been told for so long that the world is so bad that they feel hopeless. I'm sitting out here thinking that there's a way that I could use my words to speak some common sense to the people of the world and spread a good message of hope and peace and love and all that kind of stuff. But there's a darkness out there that is so black, it just goes beyond all comprehension in my mind. I mean, I'm a peace-loving guy. I don't want nobody to suffer. I don't want nobody to starve to death. And I can't carry the weight of the world on my shoulders. I've tried. It just doesn't work. I'm not Superman. All I've got is my words and my hopes and my dreams to try to share with everybody out there, telling everybody, yeah, you know, everything's going to be all right. Well, maybe it ain't going to be all right. Maybe things are just going to keep getting worse. You know?
You just said a mouthful. You just said a big, gigantic mouthful. You can't do it by yourself. Trump, with his shovel, can't drain the swamp. Problem is, evil succeeds only because good men stand by and do nothing. You're not standing by. You got a shovel. You're ready to go to work. And you're doing the work. What you need is more people behind you. Now, I'm behind you. Buddy's behind you, and a lot of other people behind you, and there's a lot of people out there, a lot of, like 9 million of them, listening now, and every one of them's got a shovel.
I'd get out there and I would physically fight to protect somebody's safety. I would physically do it.
Physical fight. Just drain swamp.
Listen
okay?
to me. Listen to me. I would literally get out there and put my life on the line. If I knew where something was going on, I wouldn't stand idly by. I would literally put my life on the line to try to protect somebody else. Honestly. I wouldn't stand idly by. I talked a long time ago about, I saw a video, and if you ever want to hear me cursing, go watch this video that says that I'm pissed off. And you'll hear me talk about how there was some people in China that were literally stomping on this baby's arm. And somebody was filming that thing. Now, if I was a cameraman, I'd have set that camera down. I would have went over there, and I would have been probably the worst version of... you wouldn't want to see it. It wouldn't be pretty.
I would love to see it. I would love to see it. I would love to be there, watch you, put the camera down, go over there and join the fight, and then when they started kicking your butt, then I'm going to come in and start kicking their butts. You understand? I'm so old, I know I'm going to die. I'm going to die, but I'm going to be right there, kicking butt and taking name, but I'm going to kick butt first. You understand?
Yep. But, you know, there's like where are all the heroes? I heard a song about that somewhere out there. Where are all the heroes?
I don't know who a hero is. I don't care. But if somebody starts kicking your butt because you're going to save that kid, I don't care about a hero. I'm going to come in there and I'm going to kick butt. That's all there is to it.
Well, see, that's the thing.
But I'm going to kick butt.
There were people just standing around and laughing while this was going on. You know? And
so we start kicking butt on the people laughing.
Yeah, well, that's...
They start hurting. When they start hurting, they're going to quit laughing.
That's what I said. That's what I said in that video. I said it'd be even... I wouldn't care. Even the ones that weren't trying to help that child out, I would have been on them too. You know?
Exactly.
I don't understand.
Those people laughing when somebody's getting hurt, they need to feel the pain. So let's deliver it.
Well, go out there on the YouTube there for a while and then look around and you'll find videos where people run around fighting, punching each other, and the people, somebody run around videotape them. You can hear them laughing in the background. It's so funny. You know, it's all funny while somebody else is getting hurt and I don't see nothing funny about it. You know? Even somebody who might have done something wrong, I just don't see nothing funny about it. Like the old Hillary Clinton was in the deal as Secretary of State, and whenever they killed Gaddafi, she was in there, and she had joy on her face, and she was wringing her hands together, and she said, oh, you know, we came, we saw, and he's dead, and whatever, you know. And I'm like, how could anybody, any decent person, take joy in that kind of deal? I understand the whole coal in the old orchard kind of thing, but if you take joy in it, then you're just as sick as the other side. If you're doing it because it has to be done.
I'm sorry, but you've got your peach orchard. You've got the best orchard in the entire world, and your best peach tree in the entire orchard is the blight. You take no pleasure in cutting it down and burning it. You have a tear in your eye. There's no pleasure in killing. However, it needs to be done. And if it needs to be done, somebody has to be strong enough to stand up and do it. You don't punish the sick, but you do cull them from the orchard.
Well, this is really deep, man. I'm sitting here while we're having this conversation, I'm looking back at a few miniseries that I watched and things that went on inside there. You know, there was one where some kids got stranded on this island and they made their own society, and one of them was like a real wild side and they did a lot of terrible things to each other, and the other one was like the peaceful side and just, you know, just there by circumstance. And if you think about what's going on over in the Middle East and this thing about the supposed ISIS killers over there beheading people or doing stuff like that, I mean, we are literally living, if all this stuff is really happening, we are literally living on a hell on earth. These folks that would run around under their God's name and cutting people's heads off, that's a sickness, man. You know, I'm a Christian, and I'm not ashamed to say it. But I wouldn't, if my God told me to go around chopping people's heads off, it wouldn't be my God anymore. I wouldn't do it. You know, I would rather burn in eternity in hell before I would want to go out and do that to people. I can't get a grip on how somebody could be that sick to take another human's life for that. You know, we got army guys that come back and they got diagnosed with post-traumatic stress syndrome from some of the things that they had to see or deal with, and war isn't good for anybody. When you are raised a certain way to be a decent person, and then you're thrust into the terrible things of combat and seeing death and destruction, and you come back and things in your world just don't make any sense anymore. Things aren't, they're not everything's insignificant now. There's nothing that really, you know, look around you out there. What really matters? If somebody's over there and they're dying, and all you're worried about is, are you going to make it home in time to watch the Super Bowl? No, it ain't even important anymore. And the whole good part of life, it's gone. You know, there's something to be said for, you know, looking towards the future and having wonderful things coming down the road to you. But once you've experienced that kind of atrocities, or even committed them yourself under the guise of patriotism, you're forever changed. You literally went down a path where you can't never return from. And these folks coming out of the military, they never left the battlefield, man. Their body left, but their mind is still raging on. And there's got to be a way to stop it. There's got to be a way to nip it in the bud before it ever even gets that far, because humanity's literally tearing each other apart in every direction. They say that there ain't no such thing as evil out there. People don't believe there's a devil. They don't believe there's a God. But man, if I sit here and I look at that, I would hope that everybody would, you know, find something like God. Because if this is what humanity is, and this is what we're doing to each other, man, you can't tell me that there ain't no demons in the world, if there's people stealing children and sending them into sex and slave trades. And we say children because it's the strongest version of the darkness out there. You know, it's just as bad if it's a lady or an adult man, for that matter. Any human being being forced into that kind of situation is a terrible thing.
Yep, and who formed it? And who's going to take care of the problem?
Well, who's benefiting from it? That's the thing. You know, we've talked about follow the money, follow the money, follow the money back, and then find out what's going on. There's so many lies and corruptions going on in the government that you just don't know. It's not just the government, though. These dark webs got customers from every walk of life and every doggone community on the world. And I'm thinking, these can't be real people. If they are real people, they're some sick individuals to even contemplate on that kind of stuff. And there is a sickness crossing the land. If that's the case, if half the people in the world are so insane or sick that they're doing things to themselves and others like that, where is the decency in humanity? You know, my book says the very first murder was committed with a rock. What would possess a brother to pick up a rock and kill his brother? You know, we try to make sense of war all the time. They come over and did something bad to us. We got to go retaliate. But when does it stop? The two little Palestinian girls that I mentioned a long time ago said, the reporter said, "Do you ever want peace with Israel?" And the little girl said, "No, we never want peace with Israel. They killed our mommy and our daddy." Well, you got to look on the other side of the fence too. If you was to ask the same question to a couple little Israeli girls, they might say the exact same thing. But until you break them chains of despair on both sides of the fence and in all nations, humanity don't have to wait for some alien force or some disease or plague to come out here and wipe us off the planet, because we're doing it to ourselves. And when I say we, I'm not talking about you and me and good guys and gals around the world. I'm talking about the group, the whole family that is the people. You've got corporations out there abusing people all day long. You got money men of the world that use people like pawns in a chess game. You got governments to do the same thing. You got government entities that will actually run tests on people to see how fast a germ will spread, or how people will react to certain circumstances. You know, bombing in a train station. Now everybody's freaked out. They don't want to go to the train station. Well, what happens in the day that everybody's afraid to even step out their front door? You know, where do we go from there? When everybody's huddled up inside their caves and they don't want to go nowhere. I've seen it in real life. I've honestly seen it in communities.
Oh, wait a minute. You're talking about 1938.
I've seen it in communities. I've seen communities where they were so afraid of the police that every time the police showed up in the neighborhood, they would all rush up in their houses. You wouldn't see a living soul outside other than the men in black and uniforms. That's it. The ones with the badges and the guns were the only people on the street. And the only way to bring them back out was to have a guy like me going around door to door and asking everybody if they're okay. You know? Is there anything I can help you with? That community policing kind of thing. You see what I'm saying? But there's not...
But also, know that you were earlier talking about 1938, which was many years before you were born.
Well,
years before I was born.
Tell me about 1938.
Project 731.
Care to expand on it?
Well... not really. I just want people to that are listening, check it out. Project 31.
Look it up, huh?
Uh-huh.
Well,
The cruelty that one man could possibly do to another because he listened to his divine entity, the Emperor of Japan. They took people, human beings, tied them to posts in a circle and threw grenades in the middle of their circle for one reason and one reason only, to see how effective a grenade would be. But they killed people. Some were killed instantly. Some were gutted. Some were just lying there with holes in their stomach, tied to a post. And these doctors, these scientists, came up and examined them to see how long they would live. They took Chinese people and infected them with syphilis, gonorrhea, and all kinds of other things, injected it into them, totally healthy people, for one reason and one reason only, to see what they could do biologically to destroy these people. I mean, come on. Project 731.
They,
okay.
We keep saying
who was sick? The people testing these weapons? Biological weapons? Chemical weapons? Explosive weapons? Who was sick? The people that were being tested on, or the people doing the testing on the healthy?
I would say anyone who was complicit in any part of the process, period.
Exactly. Now, why were all of these scientists exonerated? At the end of the war, they were wiped off the map. Why? Because the world doesn't want to know about them.
Well, I think
there are sick people out there. There are sick people out there. And these sick people need to be culled out of the orchard. If you want to hurt someone, and there's someone that knows that you want to hurt someone, then they don't want to hurt you. They just want to cull you out of the orchard. Period. They will shed a tear. They won't wring your hands. They won't be happy that you're dead, but they will be very glad that they were enough man enough woman, enough human being to stand up and do what was necessary. Cull the orchard. You don't kill people to punish them. You kill them. You destroy them to get them out of the orchard. A blight is a blight. That's all there is to it. You don't kill people. You just cut them out of the orchard.
Well, I'll take this back a little bit of direction, because earlier there was a conversation in the chat room about mind control, essentially programming. There's a lot of, when I talked about the being desensitized to that, basically shooting at a silhouette as opposed to a target, society's kind of let a lot of things slide anymore. The difference between, you know, there's some folks that will complain about a cartoon because it might have like a racial overtone or something like that, and that's a bad thing. But then on that same channel, they'll still have these cartoons where, you know, people are running around hurting each other. Right? And video games and movies, you know, there's a big market out there for movies that are scary and violent and murder and blood and vampires and demons and all this kind of stuff. It's like, you know, entertainment, what people perceive to be entertainment. Zombie movies, you know, and zombie video games where you're going out there killing a zombie. Oh, it's just a zombie. They're already dead anyway, so there's no bad to it.
Zombies.
Huh?
I'm glad you mentioned the zombies. Thank you.
Well, you know, in being desensitized to it, well, it's no big deal. It's just a zombie. It's not even a person anymore. It's just, you know, the Walking Dead. You know, and so they got video games where you run around killing zombies. I'm like...
Yeah. I mean, you just said it a minute ago. Less than a minute ago. They're not human beings. They are blinded human beings. Now, the thing is, okay, you kill a zombie. Are you killing a human being? Women, it's called the Walking Dead. They're dead. They're walking. You're not killing a human being.
Well, I gotta be honest with you.
You're destroying a blight.
Look, I gotta be honest with you. If the neighborhood graveyard comes to life and zombies start coming at me, I'm gonna send them back to the graveyard, okay?
Right.
That's common sense. What I'm trying to point out to is that, you know, there has to be some sort of responsibility in the things that we as society are willing to, you know, accept. You're shooting people when you're shooting zombies. Even though, you know, you could go to technical term and say, oh, well, you know, they're dead and they're just whatever, but you're still shooting people. It doesn't matter whether they're dead or not. But as you're watching this on TV and you're justifying, okay, that's why we're killing these people, because they're zombies, you know. And that's just one little... That doesn't even scratch the entire surface of all the different media out there portraying violence going on. I mean, war movies, you know. People want to be a hero. I hear a little kid say, I want to be a soldier when I grow up. But in that little kid's mind, does he really get a grip on... does he have a grasp on what it actually means to be a soldier? That you may, in fact, have to take somebody's life? Huh?
Absolutely not. That kid has no idea what it means to be a soldier.
Well, and I'm thinking that maybe he shouldn't have to think about that. Not at that age, you know. But nonetheless, it's been glorified, Raymond.
I understand.
It's been glorified to the extent that you're pumped up about patriotism, you know. I'm going to fight for my country, you know, and they're going to fight for their country, and we're going to go over, we're going to kill each other, and when it's all said and done, what's the point? What the heck was we fighting over anyway? Because these folks had some oil over there, and we thought we needed it? You see my point? There ain't no justification for none of this. Outside of somebody come rushing in your house trying to do harm on your family or come and try to physically attack your country and in defense of your nation, that's the only reason I could ever see any justification to protect yourself from some crazy group coming in trying to kill you or hurt your family.
Okay, I understand. But there again, you're over here in Kingville, Missouri. I'm here in Louisville, Texas. Somebody comes into my house and tries to hurt my family, then I have all the right in the world to defend my family. But if I don't have what I need to defend my family, and you sit back in Kingville, Missouri, saying, well, okay, he's dead, so is his family, and I told you 2 weeks ago that these people are going to come over here and hurt me. You said, well, you live there, I live here, that's your problem. Think about that a minute.
Well, what we're told by all the governments of the world is we got this war on terror going on. We got this war on drugs going on. And when it's actually in play and there's over there, they're not calling it a war, because then you'd have to get the Congress approval, you know, an act of war. You go over and attack somebody, you're going to have to go before Congress and get that. They don't call it a war. It's more like a police action, or they use the umbrella of the United Nations to go over there, you know. It's all these nations together that are allies that are fighting against this supposed war on terror. But imagine being in that land when that bombing's going on. And suddenly you're looking at the people coming in bombing you as the terrorist. When's it going to stop? That's the question. How in the heck are you going to stop that? Stephen said, that's because you have not been abused to the point where your mind breaks into pieces. Shaziz, what, brother, there's where you're wrong. And each piece forms its own personality separate from the others, MK Ultra, and loses the connection to the soul or heart, and are devoid of emotions like the royals who raise their children without love and compassion. They send them to strangers to be abused to the point where they disassociate from the feelings, empathy, living in our complex of brain survival mode, fight or flight. But this can be reversed with love and compassion, like Kathy O'Brien and others who have overcome the abuse and live not visit the abuse on others. No need to kill anyone, Raymond, and become empathetic and psychopathic ourselves. Anyway, I know what it's like to have your mind break. Trust me. I've fought my own battles. I've been on the battlefield for many, many years, and that's why I'm out here trying to shout to the world that we gotta stop it somehow. I might be pissing in the wind, man. Honestly. I might be wasting my breath, my time. I might be out here shouting to all four points of the compass that we got to resolve issues out there, and it may all be for nothing. But the reality check of it is, I've said this so many times on this show, and I don't know if anybody's has ever really grasped what the words that were coming out of my mouth is. I have literally seen things that no man or woman should ever have to see in an entire lifetime. I've seen some terrible, terrible things. I can't even sit here and try to, with human words, express some of the things that I've witnessed in my life. And there's a darkness out there unlike anything. You could get Stephen King to write some bad stuff and it just doesn't even scratch the surface. So I know what it's like. I know what it's like to be abused to the extent that your mind just shatters. And I know what it's like to have your mind try to create a different person inside you so that you can try to cope with everything that's going on around you. I know what it, I've lived it. And if there's anything that I could say or do to the world out there, to the governments of the world, to the people of the world, that would send us in a different direction other than what I've witnessed in my life, by God, to me, it's worth it. I know what it's like to live in fear. I've done it. I know what it's like to look at, I know what it's like to see somebody die.
And there, and that wore that t-shirt several times.
I've seen terrible things. You know, I never left the battlefield. I know what it's like for those soldiers who never left the battlefield. And it's a living hell to try to be around the ones that you love all the time and try to smile and pretend that everything's all right when deep down inside it's just, it's never going to be all right. Our veterans are paying one hell of a price. And it's not just our veterans, it's our people. There's people in the civilian world that have paid one hell of a price. And some of them turn over to the dark side because of it. Some of them turn into self-mutilation. There's a sickness out there in this world that needs to be fixed. The only tool that I got to work with is the love in my heart and my words. That's it. Then if I was Superman, if I had a magic wand that I could wave around and make everything all right around the world, you think I wouldn't do that in a heartbeat? I wouldn't even have to give it a second thought. But I'm just one man. I can't hold up the world on my shoulder. I can't do it. I've tried.
I think you're doing it. Oh, you've got your magic wand, and you're waving. Now, sometimes there's going to be magic, and sometimes there's not. But when there is, grab it and go with it.
I want to see something better in this world. I want to see a better place for all the kids and the adults. And I want people to be able to live in peace. You know, I'm 52 years old, I think. And I don't think it takes 30 years to solve starvation in the world. I don't think it takes 52 years to solve homelessness. And if people need a job, you know, if they want a job, if they want a life, if they want to better themselves, you know, I don't think it takes 52 years to figure out a way to make it so everybody can help each other take care of each other. You know,
hey,
my good book, it talks about your brother's keeper.
Question. How many times have you seen somebody standing on the side of the road with a sign saying, "We'll work for food," and you stopped and said, "Hey, I need my lawn cut. You cut my lawn, I'll give you a sandwich." How many times have you ever done that?
Well, I've never stopped and offered them a job cutting my lawn. I gave them some money to buy them a sandwich.
Okay, now you got it. Now you got it. They don't want to work. They want somebody like you to come up and give them something for free. I have never ever given anyone a dime standing on the side of the road saying we'll work for food. I've always stopped and offered them a fucking, a freaking job. And every time they told me, are you crazy? I make more money standing here begging for food than I would ever, ever make working for you.
Well, I can't vouch for everybody in this world that everybody out there is, all I say is that, you know, you can't judge a book by its cover, and just because this guy looks a little raggedy and maybe he is out scamming somebody. And I've probably been scammed so many times in my life because, you know, somebody said they had a need and I gave them money anyway. Maybe they did go buy them some drugs, or maybe they did get in the Cadillac and drive down the road, but I don't care. I don't care minute. Because I took it. Listen. Listen.
Okay, I'll listen to you, but we get them talking. Go ahead.
I took and I did the right thing no matter what. I gave them the money because I had the money. I had the opportunity to help somebody out. It wasn't for me to figure out whether or not that they were actually scamming me. It was just that it was the right thing to do, and that's it. Plain and simple, I did it. And if I got screwed, then I got screwed. There ain't nothing I can do about it. You know? But for me to walk by the guy or gal...
Are you sure? Are you done?
I think so.
Okay. Now... I'm going to tell you again. I've had people come up to me and say, can I wash your windshield? For a dollar? I haven't eaten in 3 days. And I said, okay, you do the job, I'll give you the dollar. So, this little old lady washed my windshield with a dirty paper towel and a water bottle full of, I don't know where the hell she got the water, but she did. But she washed her windshield, and it wasn't clean, but it was cleaner than when she started. She came up to the window, she said, is that okay, sir? Yes, ma'am, it is. I handed her a dollar, and I said, wait a minute. Her eyes lit up when she took the dollar. She worked. She earned that dollar. I said, wait a minute. Give me that dollar back a minute. Her eyes just dropped. But she handed me the dollar back. She did her job. What she agreed on. $1. Washed my windshield. I gave her the dollar and said, wait a minute. Give me the dollar back. Her eyes dropped. She gave me the dollar back. And I handed her a $50 bill and said, would you get a hotel room? And a hot bath tonight and a meal. Holy cow. I received more than I expected.
Yeah.
This woman jumped through my window, hugged me around the neck, kissed me on the cheek, and I said, whoa! I had the money, but I didn't give it to a useless piece of crap. The Southern Court said, we work for food. We work for food, you dumbass, you lying piece of crap. Somebody come look, can I wash your windshield for a dollar? Yeah. But you wash your windshield first. Somebody holds up a sign and says, I'll cut your grass for a sandwich. Somebody holds up a sign saying, we'll work for food. Okay, I'll give you a sandwich, but you gonna cut my grass? No. Come on. There's people out there scamming people every day. You just gotta pay attention. That's all it is to it. Now, okay, I'm sorry. It was a gentleman standing on the side of the road. I won't say what color he was, but he was wearing $250 jeans. $300 Nike tennis shoes and a polo t-shirt. saying, I need help. Where do you need help? You need a job. You've already got one. I saw people handing this sucker money left and right. I couldn't believe my eyes. This man's not worked one day in his life. He just begged off other people and living a really great life. And in what we call that in my society, I don't know about other people, that's a gigolo. A good looking, I mean, we're talking extremely handsome, well-built black man with $200 blue jeans, $350 Nike tennis shoes, and a $150 polo t-shirt saying, I need help.
I'm not saying there ain't people out there to take advantage of the situation, man.
Exactly.
But look.
That, well, no, what my point is to you and I need to pay attention. Who the heck are we trying to help? The beggars? I mean, I was really upset because I didn't have shoes until I saw a man that didn't have feet. Pay attention to your own life. You can help, but don't help those that don't need help. Help those that need help and they will back you. I'm sorry. Help those that need help and they will back you.
It's
a lot of dead air.
This just isn't working anymore.
Yes, it is. It's working better than you think.
It's really hard to get a grip on how bad or how good things really are around this world. You know, you sit around and you listen to everybody talk about there's people out there that are doing terrible things, and there's people that are doing good things, and trying to sort through the whole deal. You know, in the good book that I keep talking about, it talks about not going out there cutting down the chaff, because in the process you might take out the wheat. And there's some folks out there kind of believe that you just need to kill off the majority of the planet. There's actually in Georgia some guidestones that say that the earth needs to be down to 500 million people. I'm sure that I ain't never going to see in my lifetime the utopia that I dream about for the world in general. And I'm listening to a pastor that was on a doggone YouTube video that just came on in the middle of the night talking about the Knights of the Round Table being some demonic satanic group back in the day. I'm like, it was almost as if that was aimed at me. My version of the Knights of the Round Table ain't like that. It's the code of honor that I put up there on the deal, you know? The whole dream of trying to make the world a better place, one positive pebble at a time. It says on our deal, it says peace and love to the world, you know, seeking solution. The Knight's code of honor. Let truth, honor, justice, respect, fairness, wisdom, courage, and the love for one another be our guide. Grant us the wisdom to do what is right. And right underneath that, I keep talking about this little picture of a little squirrel in a little shiny suit of armor. And it says, even the smallest knight can make a difference. But I don't know, man.
Not exactly what you've been trying to do all this time. And somebody, some a-hole, come along saying, oh, they're satanic, this, that. And you're going to listen to them? Are you really and truly King Shazir going to listen to them?
That's not my point, man. My point is that...
That's point exactly. Are you going to listen to them when you know exactly what you're trying to do? You're trying to build a group of people that will stand up. The only way evil can survive is when good men stand back and do nothing. You are King Shazam.
Well,
I am a Knight of the Round Table. I'll do my part. Whatever it takes.
Trying to do what little I can do under some really crazy circumstances. You know, I don't know if we've been manipulated into believing the world's terrible, or if the world really is terrible, and things are, you know what? Somebody said one time that this was all a hologram and that this wasn't even real. This was like for our entertainment and we chose to come here. Well, if that's the case and this is all one amusement ride, I'm not amused and I want off the ride. I don't want to be here to be entertained like this. This isn't entertainment. It's a nightmare.
Not really. I want to ride this ride.
For you, it might not be a nightmare, but for me, it is.
Well, then what I'm saying is, I am a Knight of the Round Table. You are King Shazam. What I'm trying to say is, get up the ride. I'll take it from here. I'll ride this ride. And the world is not black. It is not evil. There are evil people in this world. There are good people in this world. And the problem is, a lot of people don't stand up on top of the mountain and look down and see what's evil and what's good. But if you stand up on top, King Shazam, stand on top and look down, you will see that good outnumbers evil.
Well, I believe that too.
5,000 to 1.
I believe that too. I believe that there are more.
That's why I'll try this world of culture.
I believe there's more good people in the world than bad.
A lot more. There are people in Russia that would love to come here and visit me, and I would love for them too, and I would really, really love to go back and live with them. There's people in Italy that know how to grow tomatoes better than I do. Damn, if I could just go there and learn their technique.
Well,
come on.
We got access to some tools right now that maybe we won't have one day. I don't know. Maybe the internet will be on forever and ever. We got options to be able to sit around and talk to each other and try to spread a good message. Need somebody out there that if you hear these messages and you think it's worthy of passing on, that you share it with somebody. You know, even if they to you only seem to be words. It seemed a lot of times in my life where, because of things that I've witnessed in my life and the road that I walked and the things that I learned, I used that wisdom to talk to people about, you know, life in general. And I always tell them that as bad as you think life is, it could be a whole heck of a lot worse. Believe me, I've seen it.
And it could be better.
Sure it could. And the only way it's going to get better is for you to force your way through it.
And for good men to stand up. People that don't want to fight.
Some folks just get...
Oh, I'm sorry.
Some folks just get discouraged.
But are willing to stand up and fight if it's necessary, but only if it's necessary. Why would you fight someone that wants to help you? No. Why would someone want to fight you if you want to stand on the corner and beg all your life? No.
You said why? you said, why would somebody fight you when you're trying to help them? Well, when I do the mad science show and I'm actually out there trying to show people some alternative ideas for energy and stuff like that, and I'm trying to do it because I believe that humanity has great potential. If utilized all the resources and knowledge we've got, we could real literally produce a heaven on earth. You know, exactly. I honestly believe that. But
why do you think I'm standing beside you?
The roller coaster?
I'm not behind you one time. I'm beside you.
The roller coaster that we find ourselves on? You gotta be on your toes, man. You gotta be on your toes because the dark side hadn't stopped trying to do what it's gonna do. You know, people come out there and they'll troll your channels or they'll curse you out and they'll do all kinds of things to discourage you, and it is easy to get discouraged. After years and years of trying to reach out to people's hearts and minds and you know, bring people to the table and work things out and help each other, that to me is what it's all about, is actually trying to make the world a better place just by reaching out with my voice and these computers and stuff. Podcast. You know, they're up there forever immortalized. And hopefully someday somebody will pick up one of these radio shows and they'll listen to it and they'll be like, you know, those folks were talking some really good common sense back there. I don't know what else to do. There really ain't nothing else I can do. You know, I do what I can in my neighborhood. If I see somebody in need, I try to help them out. I don't question. I just try to do it. That's it. Doesn't make me any better or any worse than anybody out there. It just means that I've learned a few things in life, and I want to see people do better for themselves and each other. We got to stop the war somehow. Because the wars are leaving victims on all sides of the fence. You know, they're always saying these big wars are war to end all wars. They ain't stopped yet. The military-industrial complex that mows down the average Joe and the government's use of force and threat of force in order to get you to comply. That ain't what it was all about. That ain't what it should have been about to begin with, was that, you know, we want a government so that if anybody tries to step out of line, we can have the government go in there and beat them up and put them back in line. Whatever happened to freedom? Whatever happened to sovereignty? You know? People like to say God-given rights. Well, it's kind of hard to have God-given rights whenever you don't even believe in God.
I like that.
I want to believe in God because it gives me some comfort, because if the world is as dark as I've been told, man, I'd rather think that there was an opportunity for me to go to heaven instead of having to live through another hell. Matter of fact, if I ever do end up dying and going to hell, I'm going to be one mad you-know-what. Because I already lived it once. You know, maybe that is or isn't the way it happens. I don't know. Could get on the other side and everybody start laughing. Aha, joke's on you. You were in a simulation all along. You didn't even know it. And boy, I'm going to be hot. I'm going to tear the computers apart. So, hopefully we're doing some good for people out there. Hopefully, somebody says, I look forward each weekend for this guy, you guys always help, helping me clear my thoughts. One thing I was going to say when feeling discouraged is go out in nature. That's a good piece of advice, because that's what I do. when I start getting all frustrated, I go out there and wander around out there and just kind of become one with nature, you know? It's peaceful out there. I just wish everybody else in this world could experience a little bit of peace. As after all the good people of the world, love you too, brother. All the good people of the world, that's all they want for each other. That's all they want for the world. Don't need all these bombings and craziness going on and people running around doing each other harm. And if there is a baby laying in the dirt somewhere, somebody needs to get over there and lift them up. I talked about that picture that I posted in there that I actually posted on the Knights podcast page that just tore my heart in half. It made me sad and it made me happy all in the same shot, because it was a picture next to an updated picture of a child. And however that picture come to be, the amazing thing to me was a couple different things. First off, the little baby in the picture was in such a poor state of health that it was just, I can't fathom that people that you see in the background of the pictures walking around wouldn't have done something to make this baby's life better. But there's a lady in the picture, she's giving the baby water, and then they show a year update, you know, or year or so update after the kid's had medical attention, and she's giving him water again, but this time he's in a neat little jumper suit, and he's got his little backpack and his tennis shoes on. He's looking healthy and fed. That's what the world's all about. How mankind could actually allow something to happen to a child like that, or anybody for that matter. Not everybody's raised up with the type of morals that I'm talking about, but in my mind, I can't find any way to justify the way that people treat people in this world. That baby, you know, being in that type of shape, you know, and then somebody loving that baby, even though it's not even her child. She didn't know that child. All she had was heart full of compassion and empathy, and went in and took care of that baby and followed up until that baby was finally in a really good place in the world. Now the baby has a chance in the world. That to me, I typed on there, I said, I love people who love people enough to get involved and make dreams and miracles come true. And that those people are you. Each and every one of you out there, those are you. You have that power. The power with your words, your actions, your love and your life, and the way that you carry yourself can make a huge difference to those around you. And if you're in the circumstance where you can afford to go over there and lift some other human up off the dirt and help them out, you know, and show the world the true light that shines inside. Because that right there to me is humanity, the true light of humanity, that we have that potential. There's a dark side, I'm sure, but doggone it, man. How far down could the world actually get before it ends up looking like some Stephen King movie where everybody's running around just in a literal hell on earth? I never want to see it to come down to that, because I believe that if we do have a creator, that our creator didn't put us down here to do this to each other. Put us down here to learn how to love and to do what's right. I'm 52 years old and I've made a few mistakes in my life and I've seen some terrible things. And I took all that experience of my life and I turned them into words of wisdom that I can get out here on these podcasts and radio shows, and I can talk to people and I can try to point out there is a better way than what we're doing. Hopefully it's not all for nothing. But even if I wasted all these years, there's over 400 podcasts out there, even if I wasted all these years doing and saying what I said, I don't regret ever saying the words I said. Because they needed to be said. Somebody needed to hear it. That's why I do what it is that I do. And that's why I tell everybody I love them. I don't care who you are. Because to me, love is it's the most powerful tool in our arsenal. It's the most powerful thing that we've got access to, that it is actually the glue that mends humankind, humanity, or whatever you want to call us. It's the glue that holds our family together. Our brothers and sisters around the world. That is your family out there, regardless of whether you like them or not.
I love that.
Well, I got a lot of family members. I love them all, but I don't have to like any of them.
You're right. Okay, you can love somebody and not like them at the same time. I like that.
It's like, I don't have to approve of your actions. I don't know, man. Just doing the best I can with what I got to work with.
There you go.
I hope that these governments of the world, these spy versus spy agencies, I hope they're listening in. I honestly do. I hope they're the CIAs and the FBIs and the DEAs and all the different alphabet soups of the governments and the secret societies, I hope they're listening in. Honestly do. I don't care if you spy on me. I don't care if you... I'm not going to say anything in private that I wouldn't say to your face anyway. But I'm hoping that something rings, you know, and you do the right thing. It's not just the average Joe doing the right thing. It's some of the ones that we allowed to be in our leadership. It's an honor for you to be there serving the people, if that's exactly what you're doing. And it makes your life valuable to me and everybody else around you whenever you're actually fighting for the truth and the freedom and the justice that you have professed to want to uphold. If there's things going on out there that shouldn't be going on out there, we're going to need the people at the top to help stop it as well. There's a picture that I'm looking at with Albert Einstein. He said, we cannot solve our problems with the same thinking we used when we created them. And then I added to that, I said, be the solution. Knowledge is your best tool in a world gone mad. Knowledge and love and... I don't know, as far as I'm concerned, it could take you a long ways if you actually give it a chance, you know. At some point, humanity's got to make a decision. We can't keep going down the road of self-destruction, that's for sure. If people are worried about our planet and they're worried about each other, then we need to... We need to change a few things. We need to get our act together, so to speak. You know, think about this brief moment in time when we're all sitting around here at the round table and we're having this conversation. Some years down the line, we might come back and listen to these words that came out of our own mouths, and hopefully we'll see something different than what we see now going on in the world. We're paving the stones, Raymond.
Huh?
We're paving the stones. We're putting the smooth walk path down for the future generations. At least laying the option out there on the table that it's a possibility.
It is a possibility. That's the problem. It's a possibility. And if you can, you can. If you cannot, then you cannot. It doesn't matter.
But
or you can or you cannot. You're right.
The option is to do nothing, just like you said. For evil to succeed, then good men have to do nothing. Good women.
Right. Exactly.
And I say that if you do something, at least something gets done. And if you do absolutely nothing, then absolutely nothing gets done.
Exactly. Absolutely. Exactly.
I'm not standing out there right now fighting a bad guy on his own ground. I'm out there trying to rally the troops, so to speak. I think that's what the a good king does. I'm gonna go to battle with you, not send you off to war. That kind of
a good king is nothing more than a perfect servant. A king is nothing more than a servant.
Well, that's the way it's supposed to be. If he's bad,
then he's a bad servant. And if you're a bad servant, then your employer needs to get rid of your ass. Excuse my French again. You gonna edit that one?
I don't know.
No, you don't know? Wait a minute. If you are a bad king, then you are a bad servant. And if you are a bad servant, then your employer needs to get rid of your dumb a-hole. Because you are dumb. You are stupid. But you are Shaziz. You are a good king. You are a servant. You serve those that listen to you. You tell them what they should do. Now it's up to them to do it. That's it. I mean, it's that simple.
Stephen Gibbons said, if love is all there is, what we see as evil or wrong is love, we just can't see the reasoning a person has gone through to justify their action. Was it for the love of self or another or the environment, but usually, what evil or wrong come from was a place of love. Love takes many forms.
Makes sense to me.
Oh. When you take your mind down this road, man, it's it'll wear you out. Mentally and physically, wear you out.
It will.
Now I've been down the rabbit hole for too many years, I guess. Been out there on the battlefield. Battlefield of life, sitting there trying to weigh those scales of justice out. It's kind of ironic that I was born under the astrological sign Libra that they have equated to the scales of justice. If you ever look at that symbology they got going on, but there's scales on there.
I understand.
And I want the scales of justice to be balanced for everyone. I want everybody to be able to, if I can enjoy the comforts of life, I want everybody else to be able to enjoy them as well. I don't know. It's just the way I was raised, right? I can't explain it any better than that. It's the life experiences and everything I've seen in my life had brought me to this point right here. That it's got to be a time when common sense has to rule the day, so to speak. We got to wake the world up to possibilities, make them aware of things, If there's a dark web out there, it needs to be shut down. I guess the people on the dark side probably wouldn't be too happy with me saying that. That's where they make
the business. I don't think you would. Don't think you would.
But if the corruption in the government is bad, then we need to shut that down too. We need to add Barry to the call. I'd figure out how to do this again. Yeah, so there's just a lot needed to be done, man. It's like a never ending job. There's a lot in this world that needs fixed. Now, I don't want people out there to feel hopeless, but at the same sense, I don't want them to be, what's the word I'm looking for, where you're just kind of like go along to get along. You just don't want to buck the system and place it or something like that. How you doing, Barry?
Morning, gentlemen. The word you're looking for is bah. The sheeple are all waking up, having their morning coffee. About to turn on CNN and find out what's going on in the real world, or ABC or MSNBC. Oh yeah, just getting ready to go and pick mushrooms here. I thought I'd drop in for a few minutes. Our season's on. I was out yesterday and I harvested about 48 pounds of fiddleheads yesterday, and I got $5 a pound for them.
Cool.
I made myself about $240 yesterday for a day's work. But the thing about these things is they grow in amongst the stinging nettle, and I'll tell you, your hands take a beating. So today I'm putting on a pair of gloves.
Because
My hands are full of little pricklies.
You didn't know that going in?
Huh?
You did not know that going in?
Well, I've known it for years. I did it last year, and I swore I was going to put gloves on, and I didn't put gloves on, and then after a while I put them on because your hands get beat up. This stuff is actually, well, you know, these stinging nettle, if you get too many of them in your hands, it actually causes your hands to become infected. They do have a mild form of anti-inflammatory in them, and if you get a pile of them in your hands, your body fights off the first couple of days, but after 3 or 4 days, your body starts going, hey, wait a second, I need some help. So, but it's cold in the morning. I'm one of these. There's young guys out there. There's some young guys out there already in the freezing cold picking these things. And it's cold here in the morning. It's warm about 11 o'clock. So I'm more like a 11 o'clock to about 5 o'clock picker, you know? Those young guys, they can get in there. If they get a few before me, well, so what? But, yeah, it was a beautiful day in the bush yesterday.
Cool.
I love you, babe.
So,
But you know what? I have to get into the bush. I tell you, when you get in there, I kind of get a lot of time to reflect on everything that's going on in my world, and it's a really kind of a cool way to let your brain kind of articulate everything you see going on and how it's all playing out and what we see coming and what could possibly be coming. And it's, you know, it's a great day. Well, I'm going back out. The sun's out today. We're going to be going out in about an hour and a half.
Well, hopefully the sun stays out today. I guess we're going to the park for Easter and all that. So.
Yeah, my daughter's here in town for the weekend, and she's coming over tonight for ham. I'm making a big ham tonight with broccoli and a whole bunch of other stuff. So we're throwing together a dinner tonight for about 7 o'clock, which will be cool. But getting back to the reality of the world, kind of a crazy week to say the least, Aces, is. Are we ready for World War III? Have you got your bunker built?
No, I just think I'm going to wait for the flash and then go out with a blaze of glory, because I'm not worried about it, you know?
Actually, I hope they just let one right off over top of my head, because then all you see is a flash.
There's nothing we're going to do if they pull it to that stupidity. You know, they're talking about how they had supposedly dropped the mother of all bombs on Afghanistan, and I'm sitting here, I'm asking myself this question: is, well, why would you do that? You know, I understand. Okay, you got to blow up the enemy. All right. Well, on one hand, you got these knuckleheads that are out there saying we got to reduce our carbon footprint, and we got to give you carbon tax so that you can help pay to clean up the planet. And then on the other hand, you got the military-industrial complex out there throwing explosives around. Now, okay, people could justify that in all different directions. Yeah, we got to go fight this war on terror and all that kind of stuff. But I'm having to think that that's going to be like kicking a bunch of crud up into the air. And if it's going on, you know, in Syria, and it's going on in Iraq, and Afghanistan, and all the different places where everybody's out there shooting at each other and blowing each other up, and people are streaming out of these places in the form of refugees and such, and the world is as crazy as what we've heard, and we got natural and man-made disasters going on all over the place. I'm thinking, you know, we got our work cut out for us in order to be able to resolve this solution to bring about some sort of heaven on earth. I'm trying.
Well, you know what my thoughts on that are, Arsh, is, you know, I mean, we've had this discussion many, many times in the past, and I kind of see it a little bit differently. I kind of followed my book as a guideline, and I do that because I've studied it enough now to realize that everything that's in there spoken about in the past has come to fruition, and what I'm seeing right now is an accumulation of events that are very, very specifically laid out in my Bible as to tell me what's coming and what is going to happen. And you know what, buddy, as much as I want to see this world change and all this good stuff come, we're dealing with an evil in this world that is beyond anything that I've ever recognized in my life before. I see it coming in ways on this planet that just boggles my mind. But then I read in the Bible that this is what's going to happen in this particular time in history, that his power is going to be immense, and he's going to run rampshot on this planet. Excuse me, that was a slip. But anyways, you know, I kind of say, well, you know, if this is what he's telling me is going to happen, then the most important thing in my life is just to be ready in my soul to realize that these events are going to be played out, to recognize them when they happen, to not let this fear that everybody feels right now manipulate my life. I see fear trying to creep into my life at points, and I just put up a little wall and say, hey, get out of here. Because you know what? It doesn't matter to me what happens. As long as I know my soul's in the right place, it really doesn't matter, because this is just a bodily body, man. Human body, I mean, it's, what, alive for 100 years, 80 years, 70 years, 60 years. You know, if you're lucky, you get 100 years out of the old thing. But eternity is a long time to me, man. I think about that and I go, wow, yeah, when does it start? Well, when does it stop? Well, it doesn't.
My brain.
So, to me, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter, Shadid. And, you know, we're doing devastation to this planet right now that just boggles my mind. The human race is so complacent to what we're doing to the planet. And we see these events unfolding. We see the rise in earthquakes, and we see the rise in volcanoes, and we see the earth just dying right now at unprecedented rates around the planet. Undeniable scientific fact. Well, so, listen, it's all been played out, buddy.
My brain...
Exactly what it says.
My brain, I guess I'm like the odd duck out or something. I don't know what it is. Imagine you're sitting around and you watch as this artist does this beautiful painting. I mean, it's just... The colors are perfect, and it just does something to you when you look at this picture, and it's so beautiful, and it just speaks to you, you know. And you're sitting here watching as this artist working on this, and every so often you got somebody comes over there and does a little damage to the picture, and then somebody else does it, and the artist kind of touches it up and fixes it and makes it look good again, and finally the job gets done. But by that time the artist is so frustrated from all the aggravations of people picking at this thing and tearing things up that the artist finally just gets angry and just smashes it all to bits. Well, when I look out here at this earth, man, I see this world as so much different, and I know what the book says, and I know what the people say, and the doomsdays and all this kind of stuff, and I'm sitting here thinking, I don't ever want to see it come down to this. Maybe it's going to happen whether I like it or not. There ain't nothing I can do about it. But I see this beautiful thing that is just the most amazing piece of machinery and art in my lifetime, and I just think that what a waste, man. I had a dream where I was literally sitting on the side of a hill, and I was watching as the very last sunray of light came, and as humanity went off into the great abyss without so much as a whimper, and I'm just watching as the last sunray reaches the earth, and and I could feel the cold around me, and the last words out of my mouth before that dream came to its conclusion were, all of humanity was now gone, was what a waste. What a complete and utter waste. We got such potential. If we really took the time and wanted to really seriously do what we could do as humans, I know we're fighting against an evil that is so powerful, but I think that there's a tool out there that is more powerful than all the evil of the world, and I believe that tool is the word love, you know? And I'm talking about the right love, the love for humanity and one another, our brothers and sisters around the world, the love that makes you sacrifice yourself to help somebody else out. I know that that was a potential. And in my book it also says that no man knows the time or day or the hour, that not even angels in heaven know, only the Father. That you come like a thief in the night. And I'm sitting here thinking, you know, what if we could just get our act together and our Creator looked down and seen that we figured it out. We finally figured it out. And we made things right. Would all those things have to come to pass? Would the world have to be destroyed and redone? You see what I'm saying? It's like if somebody's going to tear something up.
I understand exactly what you're saying. And, you know, that would, you know, I mean, how do we answer that question? We have to see a monumental change in the human soul. And unfortunately right now, like I said earlier, the devil is just running rampshod on this planet right now. His power is immense and it is growing. We see the rise of Satanism. We see the rise of all things evil right now on this planet. So to me, unless the human race as a whole entity has a turnaround in their spirit, I mean, there's people like you and me, Shazuz, or, you know, other really good people out here that understand this and want to see the changes. But we're dealing with a majority of the population, unfortunately, right now, that are so mind-controlled and so down the path of evil that it's going to take a miracle to pull them out of it. And unless we see that change in humanity, I see that the history of the Bible being played out exactly the way it tells me it's going to be played out. So I hope that he would spare us. I would love to see the human race wake up to the fact that we're all beautiful creatures by creation, and that we are manipulated and conditioned all through our lives to become these things that we don't even recognize as human. We could see this change in society, but unless people reach into their hearts and really, really connect with Jesus Christ, you're not going to see those changes. We're going to continue because it says this to me. And, you know, I would love to think that we can change it. I'd love to see that, because I don't want to see the suffering that's going to come to the human race. I don't want to see that. I don't want to see any human being suffer.
I understand.
But unfortunately, millions will.
I guess I just feel like that guy that was standing out there of Sodom and Gomorrah and saying, if I can go in and find this many people, would you spare, you know, the world or whatever, you know? I know it ain't my task, and I know it's not my burden to bear alone. It's all humanity, and then like you said, unless some sort of divine intervention and everybody gets their act together, we're going to keep tearing each other apart. And I do these shows because I'm hoping that something I say will send a ripple out, some magic word will come out of my mouth, and I can make it all right. But, you know, I understand the reality of it. We got our work cut out for us. As Knights of the Round Table, we do the best we can, and we try to uplift each other and point each other in the right direction and share information to the best of our ability. I just got this dream, man. And I see what we could be as opposed to what we are. And I see that earth just like that painting that I explained to you, and I just don't want to see it go. I don't want to see what could have been. I want to see a humanity reach its fullest potential. If there were societies prior to ours, let's say civilization actually made it up to where we're at now, many times in history of the earth or whatever, you know, just hypothetically speaking, of course, but if, let's say for example that it did, and this is like the last go, and if humanity don't get their act together, it's over, you know. I'm thinking, instead of repeating what we've done in the past with the wars and all the craziness, and we finally get our act together, and suddenly that light bulb comes on in the human race, and we can fix it all. That, I know it's God, man, it's a mountain. But in my book, Jesus said that if you had the faith of a mustard seed, that you could move a mountain. Well, I got the faith of a mustard seed. I've got the faith the size of a mountain, and I'm hoping that I could move mountains with the words coming out of my mouth, because I've seen where we're going, and it ain't nice. It's as simple as that. And if you see that there's a problem and you don't say nothing, you don't go out there and point it out, look folks, we got to do something different than what we're doing here, then you might as well be one of those sheep and just follow the herd right off the cliff. I don't want to do that. I don't want my friends doing that. I want us to fight with everything that we've got and everything we've been given for as long as we can, until there is no hope left, until there is not one little tiny light at the end of that tunnel. I want us to not give up. That's why I'm here.
Yeah, you know what? You know, as I feel your passion, and I feel your frustration, because every day I get up and I bang my head against the wall why the human race can't recognize simple things like the destruction of this planet, and why we can't take the time as humans to understand that what we're doing right now, there won't be a tomorrow for the human race if we continue to go down this path that we're on right now. It absolutely boggles me, because simply it's 2 hours on the internet, and you will come off that information pages with your mouth on the floor when you really start to realize what's happening to our planet in a whole. The biosphere, our animals, our plants, our trees, our air, our fish, everything is dying at unprecedented rates. Never before in our recorded human history have we seen a die-off right now of species that we're experiencing right now. And yet the human race just continues to watch their hockey games and watch their football games. I go to the coffee shop and the talk about is who's winning the Stanley Cup. Well, who gives a
World War III isn't going to help. Who gives a flying fart about a hockey game?
What's that going to do? Distract us, folks. Distractions. They play us so well. They know how our brains work. They know how we'll respond. They know how to keep us entertained. It just boggles my mind. And yet, to me, the most important thing that I can focus right now on my life is this planet, because I see it dying. And it's only going to take a little bit longer. It's going to get to a point, folks. And not being a fearmonger, but you know, there's only so much resiliency in this planet. It's an incredible mechanism that was created by my Lord Master. But it's only going to take so much. I've said this before, and I'll say it again today: that the person that created this planet, the God that created this planet, has the power, with one sweep of his hand, to correct everything that we've done wrong to this planet in the blink of an eye. So you think about that for a sec, Shaziz, because if he created it, he can fix it. And that I honestly believe. And I don't believe he'll let this planet get to a point where we totally destroy it. I believe
there are those.
He'll step in and he'll intervene. He will step in and intervene. I believe that. So, if I take into consideration, when I look at what's going on right now, like I said, unless we see a monumental change in each mountain that is so big because of what we're up against, that we're going to continue to go down this path, and it will get to a point where the human will continue to go this way, where hundreds of millions of people will die. And where it goes after that, one only has to read the Bible to understand what happens in the years of tribulation. the rise of the seven horsemen, like by and my understanding, we're at number four. All these signs are unfolding in front of us, and they're very, very blatant. They're very easy to understand. And it all points to a certain time that I don't want to see coming, but like I said, unless we see a change in the human spirit, I believe that time's going to come. So for me, it's just being ready and making sure that my soul is in the right place, that I get up every day and I start my days with prayers and I ask for strength and I ask for wisdom. And it works for me, buddy. That's all I can say.
Yep. Like I said, though,
well, you know, I feel your frustration. I mean, there's, you know, literally, I can start talking to people. As I find myself talking to people about children and the damage done to children by vaccines, I'm watching this series now, and everybody that's listening to us talk today, gotta go watch the series that Ty Bollinger just released. It's number four is out now, but you got to watch these series because it is hardcore. Undeniable information now. The whole lid on the vaccine industry is about to come off as we're seeing literally millions of views on the internet on this series. This is the same gentleman that released The Truth About Cancer, A Global Quest. That series hit 18 million views in 2.5 months. We're getting the same kind of response now on this series. I'm promoting it everywhere. But what it does, it really, really lays down the damage being done to our children, how these vaccines are directly responsible for all diseases we see, how it affects the immune system, how it is absolutely devastating to the growth of our children's bodies. You have to look at this, and you have to become educated, because to me, I just hate seeing children being damaged. There's nothing in this world that drives me crazier. And I'll find myself talking to people about this, and tears will come to my eyes because I can't keep it back because it drives me insane. But it's something that we can educate ourselves about and we can put it to a stop.
Well,
simple one issue, pieces out of the big wheel that's running us over, guys. But it's so easy to do the research and come to the conclusion. If you really research vaccines, folks, you will come to the conclusion that millions of people now are coming to, and hundreds of thousands of doctors around the world literally are coming to the same conclusion, that it's not good, period.
There's only one option that I can see, man. Outside of divine intervention, there's only one option I can see, and that's to try to bring about a miracle, you know. My good book says that if I ask in His name, that I shall receive, and I'm asking with everything I got. Because I don't want to see
it
come down.
Turtles out there. Patty, get in here for the last 20 minutes. We want to hear your voice. Call that girl in here. No excuses, Patty. I know you're out there. We see you.
I'm trying with everything I got, man.
Well, we are all. But like I said, you know, honestly, I mean, I believe there's millions that will fall by the wayside. Millions. Because they're just going to refuse to accept truth. They're going to refuse.
Well, there's a lot.
To continue to go down the road. Those people, we can't do anything about that. What we can do is keep talking.
There's
and the people that want to hear, and people think that there is some knowledge and some truth in what we're saying, well, maybe we can influence those people, but we're not going to be able to save them all. I don't believe that will happen.
In the line of our faith, there's a lot of people out there who have a lot of anger against a divine creator that would allow such atrocities in the world. But what I've been trying to point out all this time is that It's not a divine entity that's allowing this. It is we, the people, that are allowing all this stuff that goes on. We're the ones that are complicit, you know? The solution to not allowing this is what I explained in that picture where that one lady is sitting there and caring for that little child in the picture, and then you can see the results a year or so later. Those are the answers. Those are the solutions right there. Each of these people out here listening to this radio show, those are the people that can do what this lady just did for this child. As she took and she took care of this child all the way through the entire process and got him medical attention, and he went from what doesn't even appear to be a human back to a beautiful little child, you know, and nice clothes and an actual hope for a future. And I think that if I were God, and I look down upon what this lady did for that child, that is what I would want for all of my children. I would want all of humanity to have that much love in their heart to literally take their life, and instead of going out having fun and partying and all that, they took this time to go down there and uplift this child back to where humans should be with each other and being their brother's keeper, their caretakers and stuff. You see what I'm trying to say here? If I were God and I looked down on this woman, I would smile. I would be warm in my heart because I saw what this lady did for that child. And I would want the rest of my children down here on earth, I'd want them to understand that's what I wanted all along, was that right there.
Mm. Morning, Patty, Walking Turtle.
Hi, Patty. Are you there?
Good morning. Yep, I'm here. Can you hear?
Yeah, we can hear you.
We can hear you. We
can
see
you now.
We can see you now. Just wanted to hear that voice. That voice, that voice.
Morning, guys.
Morning, Patty.
You know, it's a hard thing we do, isn't it? It's so hard to be driven to do good for everything, for every living thing. We get beat up, you know, we get ignored, we get the crazy rolly eyes and people because life is too important to them in the material sense. Not because they are just wanting more, more, more. I'm talking about people like us that have not seen life the way the possibilities of life the way we do. They're the ones that are stuck. They're the ones that don't have a big income. They have is all about making sure that they make it from this day to the next day and to the next paycheck. They're not bad. They're not it's not even, you know, there's two types of ignorance. And I don't mean this in a bad way. It's not learned yet. You have not garnered the knowledge yet. The two ways, one is you choose to be. The other is because you are born into a situation to where you have no knowledge, you don't have wisdom for it. As societies are geared today, families have been destroyed just so that our wisdoms and lores from those who came before us, ancestors, cannot be passed on. Because if we were able to be in a position to know what our ancestors knew, we would have gotten here. So we can't look at everybody as and be defeated. That they don't understand. That is our way. That is, you know, we talk about we want God to. Well, what if God wants us to do exactly what we're doing? What if God put us on this earth to simply be here in this time, to be able to have the desire and the commitment and the love of life, to be able to be the voices to the people out there, you know? I think that's why we're here. And it's a very taxing, emotionally, mentally, and physically, this job we have. And it's the most important job in the world, what we are doing. There's nothing
more
than what we're doing. And we're getting beat up. And we're getting ignored, and we're getting called crazy, but that's okay, guys, because we signed up for this, and there's no way we would ever walk away from it, no matter what. We are here not because it's something we feel like we want to do. We're here because this is a drive within us that we can't stop. This is something that is part of our very being. We will never stop. what we're doing. If there's a need, we're always going to be there. So we're on the right track. We are. We cannot save the world if the world doesn't want to be saved. But we can make an impact and share that knowledge so that people will have the information and the ability to make a choice. Right now, they don't have that ability, so we can't, you know, we can't write them off. We need to get out there and get the word to them. I was talking with Karen Tostado yesterday on, she's from United We Strike Radio, and for over 5 years, I think, maybe even longer, she's been trying to get a consensus on one day a month, people not doing anything, taking one day a month and not supporting the system at all. And I understand her reasoning behind that, and it will make an impact after a while. One day a month, you know, the first month, if nobody goes to work, if nobody purchases any goods, then the infrastructure of this corporate society will feel that. It won't bother them that much, but the next month, and then the next month after that, and the next month, that will have real implications. But it's not a possibility, is it? There's a global community that would have to rise up in mass. It's not going to happen. That doesn't mean that we need to give up on that. We should continue doing that. But we have other ways also. We have ways of going out, reaching the people and saying, look at the solution I have for your electricity, for your energy usage. Look at the solutions I have for your healthy food. Look at the solutions I have for your child's education. Look at all these solutions that we have, and we can come together and we can make this happen. You know, it's the hardest thing because people are so in fear right now. They're waiting for the Messiah to come. And many of them are sitting at home thinking, it'll be okay because the Messiah is coming. Jesus is coming. But they're sitting there afraid and in fear because they are not empowered, because they don't realize that their children don't have to be sick today, that their children don't have to be sick tomorrow, that they don't have to work their lives for the corporation or for the energies, that there are other solutions.
You know that
the more we empower people, the more they grow. That's what we're doing.
You know that Jesus told his disciples that all these things that I do, that you do and greater things, and he basically empowered them to do basically what we're doing right now. I mean, we're talking, some people would think we're just talking, but there's a lot of power in the spoken word, and there's a lot of power in your actions and your love and the things that we could literally accomplish just by saying what we're saying. If they're received by the right ears and people start to work towards these solutions that we talked about. These podcasts are full of brilliant ideas from people from all different nations, and that's what makes it such a wonderful thing, because it wasn't just one nation involved in the Knights of the Round Table. It was many nations. It was many people just like us around the world that came together, and we pointed out that there were other options available. You know, and I say that once we put these out here on the internet, you know, we've pretty much chiseled them into stone, into digital cyberspace. They'll be there. And anytime somebody stumbles on one, if it benefits their life, then I think all the heartache and the worries were well worth it if it helps one person. That's why it is that I feel like we do what we do, and I agree with you. I believe we're here for a reason. I believe we're here to say these words because somebody needs to say them. You know, I said, told Barry a while ago, I said, you know, I kind of feel like that guy who was standing out of Sodom and Gomorrah and saying, if I can go in and I can find this many good people, will you spare the world, you know? And I guess I'm kind of hoping like that's going to happen. I'm hoping that, you know, we were given an amazing gift of life and this planet and all the beauty and the nature and out there, and we've literally squandered that gift. And I don't mean we as in you, me, and the people with this. We've had our share in it, I'm sure, but I'm talking about we as a whole, the entirety of all humanity, you know. We've squandered something that would have been so amazing. Imagine where we could be today if we would have got it back then. If we would have understand the love that was inside that lady's heart that did that for that little child. That's a miracle. That is a visual miracle that you can see where that child went from the state of affairs that he was in to the wonderful, beautiful little child that he is today, and that now he has hope of a future where, as before, it was only a matter of time before he was no longer in existence, and that would have been a shame. I believe we have that power in all of us. I believe that we have the power to do miracles. I believe we have the power to heal one another and help one another and do what it is that our Creator set us here to do. And if we learn that lesson, and if for some crazy miracle something happened to where we all woke up one day and decided to do the right thing, and then our Creator came down and looked on this world, and we had been cleaning house and we'd been fixing everything and helping each other out, I know it's a big dream and it's a heavy chunk to try to ask the world, as bad as things appear right now, that we could actually try to turn this boat around and make it right. But if I could please my Creator by doing that, then that to me would be worthy cause. That's why I try to do what I do, even though I know that all the odds are against what I'm talking about. I still believe in the dream. It's not over until it's over, and until it's over, I'm not willing to lay down, even as painful as it might be, to try to have to look out there and see that I feel like I'm not making any move forward. I'm not making any ground, so to speak. But when I look at what that lady did for that child, that tells me that we do have that potential if we really choose to use it. What do you guys think?
I think that everybody should go to the internet at least once a day and look up a couple acts of love, because there's lots of them out there, and it kind of lifts your spirit a little bit to know that there is some good people left on the planet. But we see absolute turmoil right now on our planet.
Yeah.
And I got to reiterate what Patty said earlier. You know, I there's a lot of days I get up and I honestly feel like I just don't want to go back on the computer again as long as I live. I just want to go away from it all, because I find it emotionally drains me. It's to a point where it physically wears me out looking at its information, because it's so overwhelming. So in the same month, so at this point in my life, I go, hey, listen, there's only so much I can do. There's only so much I can say. I will not stop talking till the last breath of air comes out of my body, because it's like Patty said, we're not doing this for fame or fortune. We're not doing it for money. We're doing this because our hearts are in this. Yeah. Our hearts are in this more than anything. My heart is in this more than anything I've ever done in my life. I look at my early parts of my life, and I look at what I was and what I'm trying to do now. I've got a lot of making up to do. And at this point, it's just, I'm not going to stop talking. I will keep talking. Every day I get a chance to talk to people, I talk. And that's at this point all I can do.
The good doctors,
because I can't change
the
world.
The good doctors of the world and the good caretakers basically dedicate their lives to going out and healing the sick and making people's lives better. The wise men and wise women sit on these radio shows and they preach common sense and peace, hope, and love. So there's a lot of good people doing a lot of good things that I think are really important to what's going on out here. Some of us are old enough that we really can't travel and maybe don't even have the finances to travel, but these words that are coming out of our mouth, they span the test of time. And I think that if there's a higher being out there, that those words are coming from somewhere, you know. And I know they're coming from my heart, they're coming from your heart and Patty's heart and Raymond and Thomas and everybody out there listening in. you know, I say there's a time for everything under the sun, and a good book talked about it. And if you can sing like an angel, now's the time. Stand up and do just that. Use those gifts that you've been given to make something right. That's my plea to the world. Take those talents and fix something before you can. It's a simple thought with a powerful message. So with that said, you know, we're down to that time where we go around the table and let everybody have their last say. If you got anything, who wants to go first?
I love you all. I love you all. And thank you, Shaz, for doing what you do. You know, you don't give yourself enough credit, but I understand that, because you're not about that. You're just about doing everything that you possibly can, and you do. And you can't be expected to do any more than that. None of us can. We feel sometimes like we're not doing enough, but the fact that we are actually doing something, you know, that's important. And all the people out there listening, all it takes is just a conversation to open up dialogue with someone and open it up on terms that they can understand. Everybody has a need today. Every individual on this earth is suffering in one way or another. And if we are able to help them, if we are able to give them, share knowledge, share abilities to make an impact in their lives for the benefit, then we have done a wondrous thing. It's very, very hard to go into a life of another person who has no conception of the things that you do, and expect them to acquiesce and say, okay, unless of course they're suffering the same situation that caused you to do what you do. Shaz, why did you get into your energy systems? Because you knew that there was a demand for it, that it was important to make sure that we stepped out of this grid, this system of control through energy. So you have that knowledge, you have that wisdom, which is more important to many, many people than you think. And reaching out to them in the physical world, not just on radio, all of those listening, you have Shaz's information, you have his videos, you have his radio shows. All of these things can be shared. And they're not scaring people. They're not saying, look what's happening here. Look. We're doing da 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 da. It's saying, look, here's the solution. And you can do this too. And this person here is willing to help you do that. Empower the people. Give them a reason to have hope that they can make a change. And that's what we're doing. Yeah. Everybody on this panel. And that's why I love this show. Thank you for having me on.
Thank you. What about you, Barry? You got any words of wisdom?
Eddie, I'm to death, and thanks for coming in. Yeah, you know, my last thoughts for the day is I honestly believe that we're going to see some pretty crazy things happen on this planet in the next couple of years. And when these events unfold, to use your mind and use your brain. A percentage of civilization is going to be led in a certain direction. And I just ask people to identify it, recognize it, and use common sense and keep your heads in the right place for these events because the leading card's done full. With that being said, thanks for having me in Shazus. Patty R.
Thanks, Barry.
I love you to death, brother. I love having talks with Brandon, having these conversations with you and sharing our thoughts.
Greg Raymond's gone.
Look at your souls, guys.
Thomas, you got any words of wisdom, brother? All right, folks. Well, you've been listening to the Knights of the Round Table. Once again, another passionate show. If you like what you've heard here, share it with somebody, because if anything we say will benefit anybody, that's the whole key. That's the whole positive pebble in the pond. And these podcasts will be up there for as long as I can keep them on the internet. They'll be there, and you'll have access to them. Download them. Take a copy of everything. If you want to share it with somebody or play it on your show or whatever, you might want to listen to the days and edit it a bit before you rebroadcast it, but it's all right. We get passionate once in a while. Anyway, just trying to spread a little bit of peace, hope, and love, and open up some ideas and some solutions and bring some people to the table. That's the whole key. That's the purpose of the Knights of the Round Table, is to, we can make that table really big if necessary. We got all of cyberspace to spread that table out as wide as we can. And there's a picture on the Knights podcast page, and it has a bunch of people standing around a bunch of puzzle pieces on the ground, and they're looking at the puzzle pieces, and there's one person standing outside that circle there. The picture says it all. It says, you are the missing piece of that puzzle. And that's the way I feel about it, that everybody out there has a piece of that puzzle, that we can put that thing together and we can make this world right. And if things can't be made right...
Ma'am, sorry. What knight lives in that castle over there?
I'm 37.
What?
I'm 37. I'm not old.
Well, I can't just call you man.
You could say Dennis.
I didn't know you were called Dennis.
Well, you didn't bother to find out, did you?
I did say sorry about the old woman, but from behind you looked...
What I object to is you automatically treat me like an inferior.
Well, I am king.
Oh, king, eh? Very nice. And how'd you get that, eh? By exploiting the workers. By hanging on to outdated imperialist dogma, which perpetuates the economic and social differences in our society. If there's ever going to be any progress...
Dennis, there's some lovely filth down here. Oh, how'd you do?
How do you do, good lady? I'm Arthur, King of the Britons. Whose castle is that?
King of the who?
The Britons.
Who are the Britons?
Well, we all are. We are all Britons. And I am your king.
I didn't know we had a king. I thought we were an autonomous collective.
You're fooling yourself. We're living in a dictatorship. A self-perpetuating autocracy in which the working classes...
Oh, there you go, bringing class into it again.
That's what it's all about. If only people would...
Please, please, good people. I am in haste. Who lives in that castle?
No one lives there.
Then who is your lord?
We don't have a lord.
What?
I told you, we're an anarcho-syndicalist commune. We take it in turns to act as a sort of executive officer for the week.
Yes.
But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
Yes, I see.
By a simple majority in the case of purely internal affairs.
Be quiet.
But by a two-thirds majority in the case of more...
Be quiet. I order you to be quiet.
Order? Who does he think he is?
I'm your king.
Well, I didn't vote for you.
You don't vote for kings?
Well, how'd you become king, then?
The Lady of the Lake, her arm clad in the purest shimmering samite, held aloft Excalibur from the bosom of the water, signifying by divine providence that I, Arthur, was to carry Excalibur.
That is why I'm your king.
Listen, strange women lying in ponds distributing swords is no basis for a system of government. Supreme executive power derives from a mandate from the masses, not from some farcical aquatic ceremony.
Be quiet!
Oh, but you can't expect to wield supreme executive power just because some watery tart threw a sword at you.
Shut up!
I mean, if I went round saying I was an emperor just because some moistened bint had lobbed a scimitar at me, they put me away.
Shut up! Will you shut up?
Ah, now we see the violence inherent in the system.
Shut up!
Oh, come and see the violence inherent in the system! Help, help, I'm being repressed,
bloody peasant!
Oh, what a giveaway. Did you hear that? Did you hear that, eh? That's what I'm on about. Did you see him repressing me? You saw it, didn't you?
Camelot. Camelot. Camelot.
It's only a model.
Shh.
Knights, I bid you welcome to your new home. Let us ride to Camelot!
We're knights of the round table, we dance whenever we're able. We do routines and call the scenes, we put work in bed cable. We dine well here in Camelot, we eat ham and jam and spam a lot. We're knights of the round table, our shows are more mid table. So many times we give and rhyme to our quiet dancing table. We're rock and mad in Camelot, we sing from the die of Camelot.
I have to push the pram a lot.
Well, on second thoughts, let's not go to Camelot. It is a silly place.
Right.
Ho, ho, ho! King Shazir's the Terrible! King Shazir the Terrible and the Knights of the Round Table!